and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody had an absolutely amazing weekend. We had a great time down here in Florida, enjoyed the rain, and enjoyed some more rain while we were at it. So it was a really nice weekend. So, other than that, how are you doing today, Dad?
Awesome. I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I want to thank everybody for praying for us. And I had a great weekend. I actually went to a conference this weekend up near Atlanta with Dr. Mark Rutland. And it was an interesting conference. And he has a thing, an orphanage in Thailand. And it's a real orphanage because a lot of these, I gotta be careful what I say, a lot of these TV evangelists who say they have orphanages don't really have orphanages. They may buy into an orphanage so they can clear it, you know, with their books, but they really don't own the orphanage. But he has actually an orphanage that he has in Thailand through Global Servants. And it was interesting also because we had a bunch of testimonials from people that were, you know, involved in the sex trade, et cetera, and girls that were involved in the sex trade. And one of them actually came to the conference, and she actually talked about how her sister had been sold into the sex slave trade business, how her father was an opium addict. And he spent every penny he had on opium, including selling his daughters into the sex slave trade in Thailand so he could have more money for opium. Now, I'm not joking, you guys. And so the conference went into a lot of detail on that. And then I got kind of frustrated because at the end, they told me they had 22 empty beds at their orphanage in Thailand and, you know, through Global Servants. And so after the man was finished speaking, I talked to Dr. Mark and I said, why do you have 22 beds that are empty? Why do you have 22 potential girls that could be saved from the sex slave trade and their beds are empty? And he said, we don't have sponsors for the girls. So he told me, Austin, he says, we don't have sponsors for the girls. And I said, what do you mean you don't have sponsors? He goes, well, it costs around $70 to $75 a month to sponsor a girl. That covers the cost of their housing, their food, having their own bed, their clothing, and a counselor there with them as far as a person who can work with these girls and helping them learn how to be doctors and nurses and attorneys. And the girl we were talking to at the seminar was an interpreter. I mean, so this is a really big group of people in ministry that they're making a difference with. This is the same group. They have a ministry in Guyana, Africa, in which they dig wells and have churches that they're building and outhouses and latrines. You think, well, outhouses and latrines, yeah. That's a big deal in Africa because the majority of these people out in the bush, they don't have toilets. They go out in the bushes and use the bathroom, and they have a lot of disease because of that. And the Muslims who come into the camps, they will not allow anybody to use the toilets or use the water or the wells unless they are Muslim. They have to convert from Christianity to become a Muslim, or they're not allowed to use the toilets or the wells. And so what Global Servants has done, they've gone in and they put in a bunch of wells, a bunch of toilets, and they allow every person, Muslim, Christian, anybody, atheist, whoever, to use the toilets and use the water as a witness for Christ. And so I told Mark, I said, you know, but the thing that bothers me more than anything else, that you have 22 empty beds. I said, so what I want to do is I want to go ahead and commit my company to support these 22 girls every month and tell my listeners of the need and have my listeners support Health Masters, knowing that a portion of the proceeds that they're giving every single time they buy anything from us or basically make a donation to Health Masters will be going directly to Global Servants as far as in the support of these children. And he said, you're kidding. He said, no one's ever supported 22 girls at one time because it's about, you know, 20 times 75, about $1,500 a month to do this. And I said, well, you know what? I said, you know, Health Masters can handle that. My people can handle that. My listeners can handle that. So I want you to know, I committed to this, guys. And, you know, so I went ahead and signed up to take the entire 22 empty beds, and I'm believing that you guys are going to help me to do it. And I want to thank you in advance for doing it because, guys, I pray for your blessings every weekend, every night, every day. I pray for you over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday and this morning. And I want to thank God Almighty that I have friends like you, listeners like you, that when I come to you with a need like this, which I've never done, 22 empty beds for girls that don't have to be trafficked into slave traffic in Thailand. And I want you to know that you and me and Austin, our listeners, have sponsored all 22 of them. You say, well, Ted, I didn't want to sponsor them. I don't care about that. Okay. Then I'll do it myself if I have to. But guys, here's the thing. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm a Christian because I want to be a Christian. No, my actions are going to speak loud as my words speak. In fact, I learned a long time ago that a person's walk talks a lot louder than his talk talks. And I want to be that guy that's going to help these girls so in 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, they can come back to the United States and they can visit us and they can come visit you guys and I can put them on the talk show and they can say, because you guys supported us, we got a high school education. Because you guys supported us, we went to college. Because you guys supported us, we didn't have to go into the sex trade business. Guys, they take young girls. This is this pedophilia thing that Epstein was involved in. This sex slave trafficking. It's all over the world. Last year, Dr. Mark Rutland came on as my guest, and he discussed all of this stuff and what global servants does. And I told you then, and I'm going to tell you again now, a lot of these guys in TV evangelical circles, especially the ones that do the orphanages and the support and the aid for Africa, a lot of them are complete and total phonies. And a lot of them, I got to be careful with the numbers I use. I'm going to say a lot. Probably 2 to 3 to 4% of the money that comes in actually goes to that. Guys, I'm not being that kind of guy. I'm telling you, we're going to support these girls, and we're going to do it every single month. So every time you buy a tube of toothpaste, or vitamins, or whatever, I want you to know that you're helping to support these girls, and I want to thank you for that in advance. Austin, what do you think?
That's really well said, Dad, and that's really awesome. I mean, because the way I look at it, too, and you're absolutely right. I mean, we need to support them regardless if, anybody else is going to help us or not. I mean, I hope that a lot of our customers will, but I mean, we see this going on a global scale now. We see how deep it went with Epstein. We see how heavily he was been protected for the last 20 years. We see how much they wanted him to shut up, whether or not he was actually killed or a body double was killed. I don't know. We'll probably never know. But they don't want that information being leaked. That's why almost every single time Epstein came into the mainstream media, something else would pop up. They would slap something else down, whether they pulled a shooting, whether they pulled some other, immigration issue, whether they pulled some Twitter argument between Trump and some other circus clown in Congress. They always tried to do something to obfuscate what was really going on with Epstein because they didn't want people to see the truth of what they're involved in. So I know Mark Rutland is a huge, huge proponent of helping a lot of these girls out. So I'm really glad to see he was able to do that. And also Health Master is going to continue to be able to do that as well. Also, to another news, I have to absolutely commend the End Domestic Terrorism rally that showed up in Portland over the weekend. I don't know if you guys saw this. There was a big group, Joe Biggs, a bunch of other right-wing patriots were there holding a rally called End Domestic Terrorism Rally. And, of course, the mainstream media for the last week has said that these guys are basically white supremacists, that they're white nationalists. Everything under the sun that they could categorize them as to demonize them, they did so. Ironically enough, though, the conservative groups that held the rally had zero confrontations, handled themselves unbelievably professionally, were there for 1 hour, and then went out to the other side of the bridge and had barbecue, while the Antifa thugs, who were the counter-protesters that the mainstream media originally tried to completely and totally bring to light that they were these big saviors because they were counter-protesters against the white supremacists. They were caught randomly attacking people on the street, people that weren't even protesters or in any groups, screaming and yelling and cussing at police on numerous videos, even telling police to commit suicide, attacked one journalist who was there just videotaping with pepper spray, got caught hitting other people with hammers, among other violent assaults, including one 16-year-old girl was basically knocked upside the head with a billy club. She wasn't involved in anything either. I mean, it was one thing after another, to the point now where the media often attempts to protect Antifa. Saturday's display by Antifa completely destroyed the mainstream narrative, and they absolutely handled themselves in the worst possible fashion they could have. And the end domestic terrorism rally, they sung the Star Spangled Banner. They prayed out loud. Then they requested authorities to open the Hawthorne Bridge to allow them to go to the east side to a secondary location to de-escalate the situation. Of course, Antifa members tried to chase them across the bridge, and law enforcement stopped them. The End Domestic Terrorism rally began at 2 p.m., ended at 3 p.m. Before they ended, they prayed and sang the national anthem, and they marched across the bridge to enjoy the barbecue. No violence whatsoever. But again, numerous Antifa members were arrested, surprisingly, in Portland. I didn't think they'd even be arrested, but their display of aggression and outrage, just militant behavior for no, absolutely zero provoked reason whatsoever, should really, really, really wake up the American population to realize Antifa, even the individuals that are watching mainstream media, you can't try to even defend these individuals, what they're doing. I've already told you guys repeatedly, I've heard from numerous sources that a lot of these Antifa so-called leaders are paid contractors. That's why they always roll in with full ski mask, full gloves, full black attire, no identifying markers, no skin color, no tattoos, no facial recognition, no hair color, nothing. Because they want to make sure nobody sees who they are behind the mask perpetrating these crimes. And now they finally got busted because they absolutely thought they were going to get in a fist fight with the End Domestic Terrorist Rally, and these guys handled themselves beyond professional. So I was really, really proud to see that, Dad, especially even though the mainstream media tried everything they could to paint these white nationalists and white supremacists as these absolutely horrific people that were coming to fight. They absolutely had their narrative completely dropped on their head, and it showed the American population that is at least halfway awake when Antifa is really, really involved in.
Antifa, it's the anti-fascist group that was brought to us from the Russian Revolution 100 years ago. It's the socialists, it's the communists, it's the ones that are trying to overthrow the government of the United States and destroy nationalism. It was brought to us by the Frankfurt School back in 1933 out of Germany. You know, the Russians were run out, the communists were run out of Germany because the fascists took over with Adolf Hitler in 1933, and they left and they came to the United States. And the irony of all of this, Austin, is, I'm going to say it, I've said it before on the shows, is they leave a country that's absolutely horrible. They come to the United States, which is the most prosperous country that's ever been on this planet, I mean, rivaling the Roman Empire, and they turn around and try to destroy our country because they don't want a republic. They want a socialistic dictatorship, basically under communism and under Lucifer. And it just blows my mind that they leave these hell holes of a country they were raised in and came from, and they come to this country and they want to create the same hell hole here as they had where they were. It just, I mean, it doesn't even make stupid sense. I was telling Sharon yesterday, Austin, your mom, for you guys who don't know what my wife's name is, that, you know, one thing that we all need to pray for is discernment. And we need to pray that when we listen to stuff and we hear stuff, that we know whether it's true or not. We need to be led enough by the Holy Spirit to kind of go, That doesn't just sound quite right. That doesn't sound like it's something I need to listen to. And it says something's not right. Now, there's another, I heard another interview this week. In fact, I was given the cliff notes for the interview, and this man who claims to be a prophet has said now that the chemtrails have stopped and that Donald Trump's in charge of the chemtrails and that Jew's going to have his 100,000, you know, indictments and on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm looking up chemtrails. I'm seeing the worst weather we've ever had in this country. I'm seeing the weirdest fronts and inversion of weathers I've ever seen. And, you know, and Dane Whittington is involved in all of this, and he'll tell you that I'm telling you the chemtrails have not stopped, but yet people say stuff like that, and so you have to ask yourself a question. Who are you going to listen to? I mean, you can't pretend like something's not happening. You can't pretend like you're not seeing what you're seeing. You've got to understand that, you know, that's not confidence. That's delusion. And so many people get caught up in saying what they said and wanting to make people believe that what they said was true and that they're not going to change the course. I mean, I told you, I have people right now that have stopped contacting me, stopped emailing me. One person was a good friend, and she had some serious health issues that I helped her with a few years ago. And she got so mad at me because I told her I didn't believe in Q a year ago, but a year. And wrote me this, I mean, this scathing email. Well, then I find out she's written the same scathing email to about six other show hosts, six other people that I personally know, and every single relationship that she has ends up like this. And you think, what the heck? Well, yeah. And the last thing that got her so mad, I said, the 100,000 indictments, when are they going to happen? She said, well, they're going to happen by the end of the year. So towards the end of the year, I wrote her again. I said, I don't see any indictments. I'm done. I'm never talking to you again. Now, here we are, 10 months later, still no indictments, Austin. And I have no contact with her anymore because they want to believe the lie. They don't, and again, that's because of normalcy bias. They don't want to believe that what we tell you on this show is truth. I mean, like, look at the thing with Donald Trump. I'm so over Donald Trump. When he starts talking about white privilege. I mean, he's a white guy, and he's talking about white privilege and how bad white privilege is and how we need to end white privilege and how we need to get red flag gun laws. And he's got his daughter, who he never elected, running around talking to the leaders of Congress and senators and everybody else about enacting red gun confiscation legislation and trying to paint it as something that we're going to keep the guns away from the crazies. No, it's not. They're going to keep the guns away from patriots. They're going to keep the guns away from anybody who doesn't agree with the narrative. I mean, look at China right now. 2.5 million people are denied even getting on airplanes because of their quote-unquote laws they put in making sure you have a good social credit score. You know, and here's the irony of all of this. You know, last week I sent out a video, a thing to my list of people to get over, get my email. I also posted it on the website. And it was a picture of Bill Clinton in a blue dress wearing red high heels. And you guys realize that, you know, that I sent that out. And a lot of people came back and said, that's fake, that's fake, that's not real. Well, the artist behind the painting of Bill Clinton wearing the blue dress and the red high heels was found, you know, it was basically, that was found in Jeffrey Epstein's Manhattan mansion. She also painted a former picture of President George W. Bush playing with blocks and paper airplanes, basically acting like he was the one involved in 9/11. Oh yeah, oh yeah, how about that? And this woman says, her name is Petrina Ryan Kelt. She was surprised to learn her artwork was making headlines this week, saying, as with most of my paintings, I'd completely lost track of this piece when it was sold 7 years ago. So it was a complete surprise to me to learn yesterday that it wound up in Epstein's home. Petrina is an Australian who currently lives in New York and graduated from the New York Academy of Art in 2012. The paintings of the former presidents were part of her master's thesis while attending the university. So guys, these paintings are real. And this painting of George Bush is real. So what we have to understand is this stuff is so far out there that we don't want to believe it's real. When I first saw that picture of Bill Clinton in the blue dress with the red heels, I thought, all right, somebody's messing with me. This isn't real. It can't have gone this far. It can't be this weird that Jeffrey Epstein has this in his house. It really is that weird, and it really is that messed up. Well, yeah, but the whole thing about the paintings is that nobody wants to believe this stuff. Nobody wants to believe that these guys are really doing this. Nobody wants to believe that any of this stuff is real. And quite frankly, I don't blame you guys. I don't want to believe it either. And the sad part about it is now we're starting to see that Obama was directly working with George Soros in order to bring in the refugees crisis. You think, what the heck? How in the world did that happen? This is from the New American. It says, hacked documents expose George Soros and Obama UN refugee invasion network. Secret internal documents and memos by one of George Soros' left-wing front groups reveals a socialist billionaire's subversive reach within the Obama administration, the United Nations, and the governing structures of the European Union, especially as it relates to the manufactured refugee migration crisis. On May the 12th, report of the Internal Migration Institute, an official project of Soros' Open Society Foundation, provides an important window to the view the working relationships among the IMI refuge activists and their allies inside the Obama administration of the United Nations. Guys, George Soros, just like Jeffrey Epstein, is and was a Rothschild cutout, just like so many of these other people, Bill Gates, all of these guys, they're all controlled through this international banking network. The other day, Austin, I heard I gotta be careful how I say this, I heard another talk show host who was discussing the satanic network that rules the planet. And quite frankly, they did a pretty good job on it. But they brushed the edges. You know, last Wednesday, I named people, places, dates, and things and what they do and how they did it. I talked about the entire thing was a Babylonian worship system, all based on ancient Canaanite religions, all of it basically. It's a child pedophile network. Jeffrey Epstein was a spoke in this wheel. George Soros is a spoke in this wheel. Rothschild is a spoke that's turning the spoke in their wheels. They're all spokes. It's the same network that's been around here for thousands and thousands of years. And that's why I always say it to you, it's always the same people. It's always the same group. And this show host, who's very well known, if I mention his name, everybody would know who I'm talking about, refused to bring in the international banking cartel, talked about how this was an ancient religion brought to us from the Middle East, whatever, and would not talk about the international banking cartels, would not talk about the Exchange Stability Fund, never, ever mentioned one thing about Samuel Untermeyer and what happened in 1933 or the Federal Reserve Act, started talking in detail about George Orwell and what George Orwell stood for. Again, a minor player in this game, but never talked about the real reasoning and the real people in the international banking cartels that rule and run this planet. just like George Soros now is again being exposed in the New American. It's posted on our website, and Obama and the UN Refugee Invasion Network all being brought to us in the form of globalism to bring a mestizo population into the United States to eliminate nationalism, all basically going back to the Frankfurt School and what they've wanted to do to the humans who they consider to be cattle for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. Austin, what do you think?
Well, this has been one of the main reasons why they have been pushing so hard to confiscate weapons. And I know we go into this topic regularly, but this is why this is happening. They do not want any type of significant opposition when this whole thing starts to cave in. They know that in every single nation, in every single country, that there has been monetary policies controlled essentially by the central bankers, which, you know, as we refer to now as, you know, the Federal Reserve or the Rothschilds or whoever owns it, that CERN. But this isn't the first time they've done this. They've done this in numerous countries, in numerous nations, multiple times for a very, very long time. I mean, they were these the same ones that were the money changers that had the unfair and unjust scales in a temple that Jesus basically flipped over their tables and whipped them out. Same people, same bloodline, in my opinion, from the research I've done all the way up. They know how to manipulate money. So going back to that, they also know that in many countries before, once the people in the government and the military and so forth start to realize that they've been swung, so to speak, that the bankers have come in and completely swung them, like we saw in World War II with the Weimar Republic, not like we have seen in numerous countries beforehand. Once the military and once the people in government that are awake realize they have been completely and totally sold down the river with a rinky-dink boat with rusty holes in it by the bankers, they get mad. They get real mad. That's why they hang bankers. That's why you've heard that term before, hang the bankers. That's not a new term. That's been around for a very long time. And so when you have a population as large as the United States and as armed as the United States, that's a serious problem if the general portion of the United States that's awake starts to realize that we've been swung, that everything we've been told about monetary policy pretty much in the United States has been a lie, that all of it's been manipulated now since 1913, that they control every single string of the purse anytime they want, whenever they want. The fact that they have spent trillions upon trillions of dollars and pumping into the military-industrial complex to feed their wars so they can go into other countries, invade those countries, overthrow those countries, put in a puppet dictator in those countries, and then control the resources completely in those countries by putting in none other than a central reserve bank in those countries. Once you start realizing what the United States has been used for the last 100 years, and it's pretty much been a puppet tool to use for the central banks to control other countries and take full control over everything they're doing. This is why you're seeing now so many acquisitions and mergers over the last 10 to 15 years. They're going in now and they're buying up everything they can get their hands on. They're merging with everybody they can merge with. All their pals, all their bankers, they're all merging together. That's why all these food companies are getting bought out. That's why Amazon's coming in and buying up everything now. Hence why Amazon's pretty much the retail vendor, online retailer of the United States now, even though they get billions upon billions of dollars in military contracts that I've covered repeatedly, and CIA contracts. Nobody wants to discuss that. Nobody wants to discuss the fact that they just won a $10 billion bid to house and host the cloud servers for the Pentagon that supposedly had multiple other bids offered by other tech companies that were not even reviewed. They immediately gave it to Amazon right off the rip. Oh, that's because Amazon is just a outsourcing of the Department of Defense now. This is what they are. This is what we're seeing happen. So back to what I'm saying here, this is why they're pushing so hard to disarm the American population. The human psyche can go to far depths in order to protect itself. It can go very, very far in order for survival. It can do almost anything it has to in order to survive. But at a certain point in time, once the psyche starts to fully understand the realm of who is doing this to them, and it fully understands who is actually the true attacker and the true danger to them, the human body again will do anything it has to survive. And so that is what they're terrified of. Because you got to remember, the bankers already have their whole little agenda already kind of lined up. They're already playing chess with us. They're already playing psychological operations with us. They're planning on what they're going to do, and they're predicting on how we're going to handle it. The one ace in the hole that they're not 100% sure about is what the American population is going to do and how big an uprising would be and how armed an uprising would be alongside shoulder to shoulder with huge swaths of the U.S. military if we finally wake up fully, the United States, on what has happened with a central bank system and the Federal Reserve. That's a fact. They're betting that we're going to be pacifists and we're going to lay down and be good little slaves, hand in our guns, lick the boots, take the FEMA food, and go on with our slavery. That's what they're expecting. That's what they're betting on. But there's always that percentage of the equation that they're not 100% sure about, is if they have 30, 40, 50 million United States citizens that wake up and say, we are no longer going to be slaves in your debt. We are no longer going to allow the Federal Reserve to come in and completely and totally control us through their monetary policies and through their, essentially, their money magic, to put it lightly. They know that. And there's a real problem if you got 40 or 50 million people with 400 million guns, with billions of rounds of ammunition that now go shoulder to shoulder with huge swaths of the U.S. military, including the National Guard, that have every other aspect of military capability that the rest of the military does. And they say, hey, you know what? We're not going to do this either. Surprise! We're here. We want justice now. That's what they're afraid of. That is why they're demonizing gun owners. That is why they're demonizing any rifle that's a semi-automatic now. That's why they're demonizing anybody that actually wants to own a firearm other than an over and under shotgun. That is why they're demonizing anybody that's pro-choice or Christian or basically libertarian or conservative. Any of those things now are being completely and totally demonized to set the stage for the narrative. And here's a perfect example of that. As people say, oh, the red flag gun laws are going to be something good. They're not going to have any issues with those. They're going to be to keep people that are mentally insane from owning guns. Well, here's your perfect example of why that is not going to be used for that, and it's going to be used specifically to control any opposition. A man in Norfolk, Connecticut, has now been arrested and is being held on a $250,000 bond. The man that police arrested, the FBI, said he showed interest in a mass shooting and was arranged on Friday. So this caught my eye. He was arrested for allegedly showing interest in a mass shooting. Brandon Washkel, age 22, was arrested at Bedford Avenue home in Norfolk Wednesday and charged with four counts of illegal possession of large capacity magazines. Ah, here you go. Here you go. Here's how it started now. Washkel's bond was kept at $250,000, and the judge ruled he can only post it at the courthouse after a hearing so conditions can be put on his release. Washkel's attorney, Darnell Crossland, said the client had no intention whatsoever of committing a mass shooting, nor showed any signs. Police said they recovered a .40 caliber handgun from inside the home, along with a .22 caliber rifle, a scope, and a cache of ammo. What I love about this is a cache of ammo they referred to. I tried to find another site, and it was like 600 or 700 rounds. That's what they like. Let's say it's a cache of ammo. I just thought that adding that in there. Police say Washkel made an alarming Facebook post when he showed interest in committing a mass shooting. I keep going, what the heck? Why are they stumbling around the words here? Why don't they just say what's going on? Oh, well, here you go. He allegedly did not make a comment on Facebook, but there were memes, one that he reposted and one that he liked. So he reposted a meme on Facebook, and he liked other memes on Facebook, and that was enough to deem him as showing interest in a mass shooting. But that wasn't just enough to be able to arrest him. The joint investigation began after they got an anonymous tip that Washkel was trying to buy high-capacity magazines out of the state, which was technically legal. Police said all the weapons recovered from the home were legally owned. They also recovered body armor. Oh, here we go. Body armor with a titanium trauma plate over the heart. Oh, man. Can't imagine somebody having the ability to protect themselves. And, of course, a camouflage shirt and pants. Oh, boy. This guy, he's got camo clothes now. Camo clothes. This is unacceptable. Waschkel's witness statement, he stated, I drove to Halstead, New Hampshire from Norwood, Connecticut in about 3 hours to acquire a 30-round magazine to circumvent what I viewed was an unconstitutional restriction on my Second Amendment. I purchased 4 30-round magazines and 120 rounds of 300 blackout ammunition for training. I also planned on building an 80% rifle kit, which I purchased online from Saratech in California, which is also completely legal. I plan on completing the 80% firearm at my friend Alex's house in Easton. I do not have any intention on committing a mass shooting or any intent on committing a crime. I simply purchased these firearms for any legal purpose. He went on to say, I made very clear that I have no intent to do any harm to anybody. And they go on to say he wasn't trying to hide from police, his lawyer said, and he gave a full statement about an hour. Now, Waschkel is a student who attended classes at Central Connecticut State University and lived in a resident hall last semester. Spokesperson for Central Connecticut State University has now released a statement over Waschkel, saying we have placed Brandon Waschkel on interim suspension pending further investigation. He is banned from campus at this time. So we have a 22-year-old kid here who technically didn't break any laws whatsoever, didn't get caught with an illicit firearm actually at all. It was over the purchase of 4 magazines out of state that there was a alleged whistleblower turned him in. And then he liked a meme. He liked the meme and reposted a meme on Facebook, and that was enough to deem him interested in committing a mass shooting, and now is a $250,000 bond. You want to sit here and tell me these red flag gun laws are not going to be used to control the opposition in the United States by demonizing gun owners and seizing their weapons? It's a 22-year-old kid with like a 3.5 GPA at Connecticut University, has never been arrested, has no history of any crime, has never had the cops called him, has never been involved in any type of illicit behavior whatsoever, and goes out of state to buy 30-round magazines, and turns out and likes a meme on Facebook, and now he's got a $250,000 bond with a felony charge pending on him, and is now suspended from campus, which, by the way, I have already seen this happen before in instances. This will follow him the rest of his life. It will be very, very unlikely that he will ever be able to get accepted onto another university campus if these charges are not fully and completely expunged from his criminal record and also from the university record. If everything is not 100% expunged and no-billed, he will never go to a college university again the rest of his life. I assure you of that. I've watched this happen before, and I've talked to multiple judges that have warned me about this. So now, owning 30-round magazine capacity magazines out of state and liking memes on Facebook is enough to constitute the FBI arresting you on felony charges and slapping you with a $250,000 bond for attempting to basically be interested in a mass shooting. Do we hear Minority Report, anybody? Do we hear the thought crime police? Do we hear no due process? Oh, I'm pretty sure we do hear. This is where it's headed. This is exactly how it's starting already, and we haven't even seen a federal red flag gun law in place. We only see them up in Connecticut, Florida, and California, so forth. God help us, and I mean that literally. He has our back, and I know he does, and we're going to need all the help we can get if they federalize red flag gun orders, and they can do this on a national scale whenever they want with the FBI directly, Dad.
You know, Austin, I had a friend of mine who had a son, and the kid was like 18 years old, and basically got stopped for a red light ticket. And the judge or the sheriff illegally looked inside of the vehicle, told not to, he did anyhow, and saw the very tip of a butt of a shotgun from underneath the back seat, which was completely legal under the seat. And before it was over with, the kids get arrested, handcuffed, sitting on the curb, guns are seized. And I remember I talked to a judge friend of mine, he's no longer on the bench. This was 13, 14 years ago. And I remember he told me, he says, Ted, he goes, this one needs to go away. Because exactly what you said, Austin, is what this judge told me, that he'll be blacklisted, blackballed, and not even allowed to go to school anymore.
Yep.
In any major university. And what ended up happening, this whole situation ended up with the guns being returned, the whole thing being no-billed and dropped, and basically, it was awful. because, again, the police overstepped their authority. Now, I'm going to say this very carefully. There are a lot of really good police officers out there. Probably 50% are really, really good. 40% are okay. 10% are awful. They're just awful. I mean, they suck, and they're horrible people. And it doesn't make any difference how you try to relate to them or talk to them or be nice to them or whatever. They don't care. And when you get one like that, you just got to really mind your P's and Q's and dot your I's and cross your T's and be really careful what you say to them, because everything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. And they're there for a specific reason. They may not like the way you look. They may not like the way you drive. They may not like the way you dress. They may not like your tattoos. They may not like the fact that you didn't roll the window down far enough. They find something, and they may have gotten a fight with their wife that morning. They have the IRS cocked off mood, excuse my language, and they're going to basically take it out on you. And see, and this is so important that people understand that. They have to understand that when you get stopped by a police officer, be very, very respectful. Treat them the way you want to be treated, and then just hope and pray you've got a good one. I told you guys last month when I was in Montana, I got stopped. I was doing like 80 and a 70 or 85 and a 70. I forgot what it was. And he was really nice. He was loaded out for war. I got pictures of him. And he didn't give me a ticket. He said, man, just slow down. And he was really, really nice. So sometimes you get a great one. Sometimes you don't. So be very, very careful, because you don't know until you engage conversation. Now, a lot of them, if you try to talk to them and be nice to them, and they're angry because they're on ticket watch or ticket patrol, or they've got to be giving tickets out and it's raining outside, just be cordial to them, because a lot of them are really good people. They're just having a really bad day, and a lot of them are doing stuff they no longer want to do. A lot of people get so frustrated with law enforcement after they've been in law enforcement that they don't want to have anything to do with it any longer. They get disenfranchised, disillusioned. By the way, real, I want to talk about GMOs for 1 second. This is an interesting study that was done. A farmer conducted an experiment using GMO in non-GMO corn, and he discovered a sobering truth. I found this very, very interesting. While the GMO food experiment has been highly profitable for the lab technicians who created it, as well as the toxic synthetic pesticide industry, which has combined it with the corn, the question of what it is doing to our bodies, specifically our internal organs, remain etched in the minds of independent researchers who have studied the crops extensively. GMOs do not undergo safety testing past 90 days, and many studies are funded by the GMO industry. Why critics continue to point out that dozens and dozens of studies showing GMOs and Roundup are capable of causing cancer and harm, others are busy conducting experiments of their own to show how obvious the problem really is, according to some members of the animal kingdom at least. Recently, the Institute of Responsible Technology, a research organization dedicated to educating the often overlooked dangers of genetically engineered crops, posted the results of a farmer's experiment on their Facebook page. The farmer, a friend of IRT founder and best-selling author Jeffrey M. Smith, left 2 bags of corn, 1 GMO and 1 non-GMO, in a workroom. The mice broke into both bags, but quickly stopped eating after taking a few bites of the GMO corn. Remember, it's pesticide. They only took a little nibble from one of the kernels of this and never came back to eat it. Even the rats would not eat the GMO corn. They, however, devoured the non-GMO corn. According to Smith, many different animals, including squirrels, geese, elk, deer, raccoons, mice, rats, buffalo, and chickens, have all been observed avoiding GMO corn in the past. Now, I'm going to stop for 1 second. I personally believe a lot of these problems we're having with deer all over the country is because these deer are being fed GMO corn. We see this happening everywhere. People don't realize that deer shouldn't be eating corn to start with, but they eat the corn anyhow, and these deer a lot of times get hungry, and they eat the corn, and it's causing all kinds of health problems. It's a trend Monsanto and GMO industry have done their best to avoid discussing. But many farmers, including Iowa pig farmer Jerry Rossman, have noticed that animals forced to eat GMO corn and soy have suffered abnormalities, including serious reproductive issues. What is it about this corn that would make them not want to eat it? Smith's asking a video posted to the IRT's Facebook page. Well, if it's genetically engineered, as most corn is, it produces an insecticide toxin. Here we go, called BT toxin, which can poke holes in an insect's gut to kill them, he included. And it was also found to cause damage in mice and rats and almost human cells, and also in the guts of the animals eating it. Aside from the BT toxin, which is incorporated into the cells of the GMO plants, genetically engineered corn will make up 90% of the U.S. world supply, and U.S. supply, despite it being banned around the world, is also sprayed with cancer-causing Roundup. I mean, you can't make this up. I've been telling you guys this stuff for years. According to Smith, the corn may have more potentially harmful substances as well, including formaldehyde, gamazine, a novel allergen found in GMO corn and not others, and even potentially cadaverin, a substance linked to the rotting smell of dead bodies. While the experiment by Smith's former friend was far from controlled clinical research, it does serve as a potential red flag as to the importance of being connected to the sources of food that we eat and understanding what you're buying and what you're feeding you, yourselves, your family, your pets, and the wildlife. Guys, it's so important to understand that GMO corn, and I have pictures on the website of tumors in animals and mice that have been fed GMO corn exclusively. It is unbelievably bad for you, and you should not put any into your system at all. And I've had so many people contact me, guys, who've had all kinds of intestinal problems back to GMO corns. You have to eat organic. You say, well, it costs too much to eat organic. Guys, if you stop eating out in restaurants, you start preparing the home, your food from scratch at home from organic products, you don't end up having that much more money in it. You really, really don't. Here's another article. Low vitamin D levels increase the risk of disease and premature death. Multiple studies are showing again. Guys, vitamin D is one of the most important components of the immune system. If you don't have enough vitamin D, you have all kinds of problems. You end up with leaky gut disease. You end up with rheumatoid arthritis. You can end up with all kinds of health issues, including overall immune problems. You have to have vitamin D3 in high enough concentrations to work, and you need to combine that with vitamin K2. That's why we use K2 D3 at Health Masters. Here's another article. Why is collagen critical for cancer and heart disease prevention? Collagen is the thing that holds us together. It's our intracellular substance like a cellular glue. It gets formed to the structure of the skin, the ligaments, the cartilage, and the bones, and it helps prevent cancer's invasion. In order to spread, cancer must first break through connective tissue, which is formed primarily of collagen. This is why one of the primary things that you have to take on a regular basis, and I try to take 4,000 to 6,000 milligrams a day, is vitamin C. Vitamin C is what collagen uses to build itself strong and proper in the body and prevent all of this mutation that occurs in the body. But Linus Pauling told everybody he took 5 to 10 grams of vitamin C a day. That's what he said he did. And what ended up happening, he lived to be in his 90s, while all of the people who boo-hooed him died so young. He also won 2 Nobel Prize awards. That was Linus Pauling. Talk about vitamin C and collagen. It's absolutely critical that you maintain your vitamin C. There's some other things that you can do as far as cancer cells. Number one, you got to look at the attitude you have in your heart. You have to realize that when you put your body under stress, it stops absorbing nutrients. You have to have forgiveness and gratitude. You have to have the ability to forgive people if you have a horrible disease like cancer. Secondly, you can't be confessing all the time you have cancer. You say, well, you got it. You need to confess it. No, you don't. Why are you going to give it energy? Why are you going to talk about it and feed it? Why are you going to stroke it and pet it? Okay, you got cancer. Okay, that's great. Don't talk about it anymore. Do what you know you need to do. Pray like it's all up to God. Do like you know what you need to do from a supplement standpoint. You know, massively increase your turmeric, increase your D3, K2, increase your vitamin C. Your vitamin C intravenously given to you. Increase the vitamin D until you get levels up to about 80 or 90. Take potassium iodide. There are all kinds of natural things you can do to build your body's immune system. Also, you need to get moving. You need to get exercise. You need to breathe. You need to really, really be getting some aerobic exercise. Eat an anti-cancer diet. Stay away from all of the non-organic foods. Supplement your diet as needed. A, B, C, D, zinc, selenium, magnesium, digestive enzyme, probiotics, all of the stuff used to improve immune function. Rejuvenate and restore your energy. Get enough sleep. Use a hot sauna. Use a steam room. Do whatever you need to sweat like that and get exercise. And guys, you will be amazed at how quickly your immune system will recover. It's amazing what happens when you take what you need as much as you need of it and how your body will recover. So always remember, guys, you've got to eat right if you want to live right and live long. You have to do that. You have to increase your mitochondrial function. You've got to have good cholesterol levels. So you got to keep your cholesterol over 200, between 200 and 250. You can eat kiwi fruit, alfalfa, green tea, like our purple sticks, parsley, papaya. All of this stuff is so important that you do on a regular basis if you've got a problem with your immune system or you're having health problems. And you have to watch out for companies like Johnson & Johnson. We now know that Johnson & Johnson poured talc into their baby powder knowing that it caused cancer, and they also allowed asbestos into their baby powder. So be very careful with the products that you put on your body and what you allow yourself to ingest. Because if you eat the wrong foods and you put the wrong things on your body, you're going to massively, massively increase your risks of certain types of diseases. By the way, one more quick thing I want to talk about here in Austin to get a story in. Deutsche Bank, and that falls to a new record. It's a low showing Lehman shock contagion risk. I mean, Deutsche Bank is in trouble, and it's the largest bank in Europe. It has set a new record at a low at 580. It underscores German and European banking contagion risk. The FTSE 100 opened slightly higher after trading a delay of 90 minutes on trading services issue. Guys, Deutsche Bank's in trouble. And if Deutsche Bank's in trouble, guys, we're going to have a lot of problems here in the United States. Another Lehman Brothers thing. Remember, gold is heading for its third weekly gain on trade. That's because of the concern for the international markets. A lot of people are projecting it to rise by up to 1650 here just in a few weeks. Deutsche Bank's new record low underscores the lack of confidence in this system in the EU and the global lack of confidence in the European banking's decline. German banks, because of all the debt they were forced to take on by the EU, are in much worse position than the rest of Europe. Remember, Germany was bailing out everybody in Europe, signing into all these other countries' debt. Why was Germany forced to do that? Because Germany was running surplus. They weren't running deficits. And because they were running surplus, they were basically independent and they were being prosperous in spite of the fact that they have a Rothschild-controlled central bank controlling them. Now they're in debt. Now they're in trouble. This is what's happening. So we got to realize it's so important that we pay attention to our finances right now. By the way, GE falls the most in 11 years after Madoff whistleblower calls it a bigger fraud than Enron, and 10-year Treasury yields fall to a 3-year low below 1.5, and the 30 rate declines to a record low. Market plunge sheds harsh light on big banks and the derivatives counterparties, which are 1.5 quadrillion, which is $1,500 trillion in debt through derivatives, and that's what it was 10 years ago. It's probably much higher than that. So guys, be really careful in the equities market. Now, you heard it from me, and I'm warning you. I'm not a financial planner, so take that advice for what it's worth, but be careful and realize that if you made a bunch of money in the equity markets right now and your stocks are way up, maybe it's time to take a little bit of profit out and just cash it out. Maybe. Your choice. What do you think, Austin?
I think that's really well said. I've had a lot of people tell me that recently as far as that have been in the market for years right now. In my opinion, and from a lot of other professional opinions that I've talked to on a regular basis, we're looking at probably 12 to 18 months for another full-blown 2008 again. That's what people tell me. I'm not predicting anything. That's what they're telling me, and I'm telling you guys. There's a high, high, high probability by election next year, either before or after, we're going to see some very, very significant things happen. There's no doubt about that. So be very well aware of it. And as far as my opinion right now, just be cautious with a lot of this stuff. If you don't need to take on a lot of debt for something, question it. If you're not needing to be really risky with something, you should probably question it right now. There's a lot of other things you can do as far as trying to hedge your assets and so forth. That's why I've always been such a big proponent of gold and platinum and silver and everything. I mean, platinum is still very low right now from its peak of what it was in 2011 at 2200. Right now it's at 850. Remember, platinum is used in solar panels. It's used in phones. It's used in a plethora of different things as far as industrial purposes. So platinum, in my opinion, is extremely undervalued right now. You guys saw what happened with palladium when it hit a kite a couple months ago. Palladium used to average, back at the same time frame, was averaging around, if I'm not mistaken, around 400 to 500, I think. My numbers don't mistake me right. Back in 2011, when this stuff was peaking up with platinum, then last couple months ago, palladium went and hit, 1,600 an ounce, almost tripled. These are the things you got to start looking at and realizing that, you got to be careful with it, because at the end of the day, doesn't matter if you got an ounce of gold, ounce of silver, ounce of platinum, you have an ounce of that metal. When you start dealing with the stock market stuff and you start having these massive, massive, massive pullbacks and crashes on it, you can start losing money hand over fist in minutes, and you have nothing to show for it at the end of the day. So just be aware of that. Know what you're getting involved in. And also, touching base real quick back on what Dow was talking about, on the immune system, it's very careful. This is something that I've seen with a lot of people, and I try to give this as very direct advice. If you're having an issue with your immune system, if you're having a compromise with your immune system, regardless of what that is, whether it be you're getting a runny nose and a cold very often, to something way worse than that, make sure you're cutting back, if not completely eliminating, the really refined carbohydrates and sugars. This is something that I see a lot of people do on a regular basis when they're having an immune system problem and they don't cut it out. They start taking a lot of supplements, which can be huge help. Getting your D3 up is super crucial. Getting your magnesium up is super crucial. Getting in, you know, a couple grams of vitamin C a day minimum is super crucial. But if you're still shoveling down a half a gallon of Ben and Jerry's ice cream every single night and eating pasta and cookies and everything else under the sun that you shouldn't be eating all day long, it's very, very difficult for even those nutrients to build the immune system up because your white blood cell count is so suppressed and your immune system is so suppressed from all the sugar you're eating. Sugar is one of the worst things you can put in your body for the immune system. I'm just being direct with you guys right now. That's a fact. So, again, you don't have to be necessarily a monk and never touch anything that has a gram of sugar in it, but cut out the stuff that's really refined. Cut out the pastas. Cut out the pizzas. Cut out the stuff that has added sugars in it, like in boxes, bars, and stuff like that. And, of course, cut out any of the ice cream, dairy, and so forth. If you want to make something and you want to have a sweet flavor to it, use some of the monk fruit we have. Monk fruit actually has antioxidant properties to it. Among that, it tastes very, very similar to sugar. If you use it correctly in a lot of baking stuff, which Lana and my mom does, they do different stuff all the time with monk fruit. There's stuff that they have made now that they've made out of the cookbook, the Eat Clean and Be Healthy cookbook that they use monk fruit in, and I've had it before, and I thought it had sugar in it. I looked at it and said, golly, I said, well, what's the calories on this? I don't want to eat a lot of sugar. And they go, there's no sugar. Monk fruit. I go, monk fruit? There's no sugar in this? No, no sugar in this. And I'm like, wow, that's impressive. And the funny thing is, you'll notice when you eat something like that, whether it be, you know, banana pudding or cake or, you know, cookies or something that's made with monk fruit, it doesn't have any sugar in it. It's got, you know, some organic flour and eggs and so forth with monk fruit, and that's how you get the flavor out of it. You'll realize, even if you eat a hefty amount of it, you still don't feel that hard crash and down like you do the next day. If I eat a lot of sugar on one day, and I've done this before, I'm no saint either, you know, I start feeling my elbows and my joints. They get more inflamed, especially if I'm on bench or something like that the next day in the gym. I also can feel my energy levels aren't where they at. My brain focus is not where it needs to be. A lot of things that function properly in my body are not where they need to be when I eat large amounts of sugar. So I've learned a long time ago, it's best just to stay away from it. But when you eat stuff with monk fruit in it, I don't have that really problem at all. And I try not to go berserk even at that, because, you know, if even it has flour or so forth, then I try to eat a lot of it. But again, those are just some minor tips that I see a lot of people do on a regular basis where they think taking supplements counteracts an absolutely horrific diet. A horrific diet is crucial, absolutely crucial. The supplements are exactly that. They supplement a healthy lifestyle. But if you go out and you want to drink every night and you want to eat sugar every night and you want to binge out on ice cream every night and eat Taco Bell every night and you think taking an ultimate multiple every day is going to completely and totally change you, it's probably not. It'll definitely help some better than not taking any at all, but it's crucial you change your overall lifestyle and food intake if you really want to get in better shape. And guys, right now is more the time than ever that we need to be as mentally acute and as energetic and as good physical shape as we can possibly get, because there's a high probability we are going to have to do the best we can to defend this country in the very near future, whether we want to or not. That's just my take on it. So again, keep your immune system strong, keep your supplement intake high, and keep your diet clean, and I promise you make a huge difference in your energy, guys.
You know, Austin, that's exactly right. That's why we try to eat as clean as we can all the time. But I want to give you a message of hope real quick. Alice Cooper, you know, back, you know, shock jock basically makes Marilyn Manson look like a choir boy back in the 60s and 70s. He stopped his hard partying ways and returned to his Bible Christian roots. His father, by the way, was a pastor, a traveling evangelist. He became a Christian back in the late 80s, and today he's still largely popular. He says that the world does not belong to us. It belongs to Lucifer, to Satan. And I need to make you guys understand this, guys. You know, Alice Cooper, he was born Vincent Damon Furnier. He shot to megastardom in the 60s and 70s and early 80s with such hits, I Am 18, School's Out, 73 album, Billion Dollar Babies. He's also notorious for his demonic makeup and costumes. He was nominated for multiple Grammy Awards. And finally, he said after he bought pretty much every car and owned everything he could ever own, he realized that he was empty on the inside. And he needed more. Because my dad was a pastor. He was an evangelist for 25 years. And I used to go up and do missionary work with him in the Appalachians, with the Apaches in Arizona. My grandfather was a pastor for 75 years. I grew up in a Christian home. My wife's father is a Baptist pastor. So I was like, we were PKs, preacher kids, so we married each other. So he goes, I refer to myself as the real prodigal son because I went out and the Lord let me do everything. And I don't believe that the Lord let him do everything. He did everything in his own flesh. However, he says, maybe he didn't let me allow, but then he just started reeling me back in. You know, you've seen enough. Let's bring you back to where you belong. And you know, and all of a sudden he goes, when you're out there and you realize you've had every car, every house and all that, you realize that's not the answer. He said, there's nothing out there that at the end of that. So materialism doesn't mean anything. A lot of people say that there's a big God-sized hole in your heart. I said that to you guys for a vacuum, and when it's filled, you're really satisfied. He goes, and that's where I am now. He said he returned to Christianity when he tried to stop drinking alcohol because he was addicted to cocaine and alcohol. He said, I stopped drinking and I started going back to church, he said, because I was throwing up blood every morning. I was a really bad alcoholic. I wasn't a cruel or mean alcoholic, but I certainly was self-destructive. So guys, if God can turn Alice Cooper around and have him accept Jesus Christ and come back to where he needed to be, he can do that for you. He can do that for everybody. And I encourage you to get back into the Bible-believing church. I encourage you to start reading your Bible every single day and pray every single day. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Thanks for listening. Thank you for helping me support these folks over in Thailand, these young girls. And thank you for your prayers. I appreciate you guys. I love you. I'll also go ahead and finish it up, and I'll do this write up.
Absolutely, guys. We absolutely appreciate all the support and everything over the weekend. A lot of the emails going on, and I know a lot of people are going back to school and everything else right now. A lot of stuff is going on. Everybody's busy. So we just continue to appreciate the support of Health Masters and getting our information out there, getting the show out there. And please sign up for our free weekly newsletter, all the different specials and emails and articles that we write on a regular basis. We send out on there every single day, and we're doing the best we can to get this information out there. Be sure if you need anything, check out the website, healthmasters.com. Lots of different specials going on right now, including the Vive facial cream is now back in stock and 15% off. Very popular product. Also, the Mood Support Kit is also on sale, along with the probiotic 350 billion, which is actually around 650 billion at time of capsuling. So it has to be a minimum of 350 by the expiration date. Strongest probiotic you will find on the market, assay and tested. On the website right now for over 10% off this product of the week. Thank you guys again for the support and prayers. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Stay prepared. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.